You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. In fact, the best greeting or the appropriate greeting is Abaragani family, Abaragani, which means what's the news? And of course, the answer is Kujichagulia, self-determination, Abaragani. What's the news? Kujichagulia, self-determination. That is the day's principle. Yesterday's principle was Umoja. So I'm going to play, of course, the seven principles from the CD of Kwame Cobb and his beautiful wife, what a great voice, Shavinduka. Just a fantastic voice. So we'll play Umoja and Kujichagulia. And of course, after that, we'll play other ones that are more appropriate. So, yeah, it's Kwanzaa time. Let's come together. It's Kwanzaa time. I hope you had a chance to check out a Kwanzaa presentation in your city, or even better, and I mean this, even better, brought the family together, have a Kwanzaa celebration in the home yesterday. I know that's my first experience of Kwanzaa, was in someone's home, and we'll always remember it. But then we started having Kwanzaa presentations for the community. In fact, somebody posted Milwaukee's, I'm from Milwaukee, and he posted Milwaukee's presentation yesterday evening, and it's great. I love to see other places. The Wisconsin Black Historical Society was packed. Oh, it was quite a few hundred. I would venture to say, seriously, about maybe 253, you know, at the most. And it was packed, beautiful. And, of course, Claiborne Benson, the curator of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, give him a shout-out for many, many years doing what he's been doing. In fact, I'll tell a little bit of a story on that a little bit later. But let me go ahead with the intro, the usual intro that we have here on Time for an Awakening or African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, in fact, it is my suggestion, don't even bother with TuneIn Radio for this program, because they'd be cutting away for commercials. But obviously, TuneIn is a great source if you want to listen to radio anywhere else around the world, or if you're living in a different city from where you were born. If you want to go back to Cleveland, if you're living in Atlanta, if you want to go back to Chicago, if you're living in Dallas, you don't understand what I'm saying. So you can still get those stations through TuneIn. But Time for an Awakening, you can get it straight up. Just go to timeforanawakening.com. On the right side of the page is the link that you can for hearing the radio program. That is, it broadcasts 24/7, but on this is live, and you can listen to it live on timeforanawakening.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening, Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. On Thursdays, tomorrow night, from 7 to 8 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Their program, Mississippi on the Move. On Fridays at 8 p.m. on Fridays, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. On Sunday, it's Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. At 7 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And if you want to listen, if you have another way you can do it, a shortcut, whatever search engine, you know, Time for an Awakening, you know, Internet Explorer, Firefox, whatever, put in the search, put in the search, BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net, and you can listen to programs that are dated and titled. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, of course, the fourth day of Kwanzaa is cooperative economics. It's a good time and a good to seek out spending some money with us. Spending some money with us. Go to WeBuyBlack.com or any other business. You know, maybe you want to go out to eat. You know, go to a black restaurant. The bottom line is, fellas, if we, and brothers and sisters, rather, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? If we don't support us, who's going to do it? And if there's an issue or problem, make it known to the proprietor. Make it known to the owner or manager or whatever. All right? WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tayemba. He is right at this present time in Azania, December 24th to January 4th. We will talk to him when he gets back and the other trips that he has now put on the lineup. The next trip after that is March 29th to April 9th, 2024, Liberia and Morocco. July 11th to July 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, same dates as this year, but it's next year, 2024 to 2025, Azania. April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2024, it's Ghana. And then November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. Brazil. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything you need is there for you. All the paperwork, all the information that you need is right there. Okay? And you can, even if you don't go to one of his trips, you can use the information for your plan. And that's how that goes, okay? Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habashaw. Habashaw Incorporated. Habashaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, the programs they have here, particularly in the Atlanta area, Habashaw Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, they launched the Kashi Project last year, October, in beautiful buildings and the whole idea of sustainable agriculture and so forth. HabashawIncorporated.org. Yes. The LEDGE program. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE deals in the area of four areas of human necessity, human existence, human beings. You just can't say it even in any more importance than
food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. He has 12 projects on the continent, in six different countries, over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, support the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Abibi Atumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, they're doing great work on the continent in Ghana, abibiatumi.com. They connect with people and organizations and have communication, special education programs. They have a social and educational network right there in Ghana. They're transforming digital ideas into physical realities. Abibi Atumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, is transforming digital ideas into uncolonizable. That means the Caucasian can't do a damn thing. Physical realities by focusing on tangible manifestations of ideas that resist colonization, emphasize self-sufficiency, encourage cultural empowerment, and preserve indigenous knowledge. All right, abibiatumi.com. Smile Pharmacy, the website is back up. They have added so much. Brother Jabril has added so much to the website. Go to smilepharmacy.com, S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y.com, Smile Pharmacy. Or you can give them a call at 770-765-7751, 770-765-7751, Smile Pharmacy. Or if you want to drop him a line on a letter, his Gmail address is smaifarmacy at gmail.com. Okay, Smile Pharmacy. Moses West Foundation. The Moses West Foundation and the Atmospheric Water Generating System. The Moses West Foundation is an innovator in global sustainability, guided by the vision of the founder, Brother Moses West, that clean water is a fundamental human right. As I told you before, the situation, that's what happened in Flint, Michigan. Flint, Michigan was one of the first, but everybody's, particularly older cities, have issues with infrastructure, the water pipes and so forth, corrosion and everything like that. And so he had a partner in the Caucasian, wanted to charge the people for the water. And Brother Moses West said, no, we're not going to do that. You know, he's the one that came up with the idea. And so what happened that he didn't do nothing in Flint anymore because of the conflict. And so what happened, Brother Moses West took the machine, retooled it, and sent it down to Jackson, Mississippi. But it also problems in Jackson, Mississippi. The Caucasians, well, you know, the Brother Lumumba is the mayor. You know, Chukwe Lumumba's son, is the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. And so they're still dealing with it, man. But, you know, the system is cutting edge. Atmospheric water generating technology to provide essential water access, foster community development, and promote environmental responsibility. It is something else, man, I'm telling you. And so they're raising funds on that. So go to the MosesWestFoundation.org, brothers and sisters. MosesWestFoundation.org. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta on the West End, historic West End, on Ralph David Abernathy. The West End is targeted for gentrification, like every damn thing else in every other people's community. And Wadada's is across the street from Soul Vegetarian, which they remodeled and offering an updated menu at Soul Veg. Down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, and the shrine has been open off and on. And we used to have a lot of Kwanzaa at the shrine. Haven't had Kwanzaa at the shrine in a few years. So, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Nature Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, is doing great work. Place is beautiful, and she has space there at the mall where she can do book signings and presentations and so forth. So, and if, of course, if you're looking for a particular book, give her a call. And if she doesn't have it, believe me, she will get it because she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, gift certificates, figurines, and so much more. So give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located east of Atlanta in Lithonia. In fact, you jump on I-20 going east, take exit 74 and make a left. Now you're going north. In about a mile, on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Brother Gazimde Ajamu. He's got the red, black, and green shoes. He's got figurines. He's got T-shirts. He's got all kind of stuff. And, of course, selections of books. And if he doesn't have the book that you're looking for, he'll get it. All right. Jump back in your ride. Head back in the other direction. Now you're going south. Jump back on the interstate. Make a left. You're still going east. The next exit east is exit 75. Turner Hill Road. Make a right. Three lights. Go three lights. Make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. Head there, brothers and sisters. They have Kwanzaa there all week. I'll be doing Kwanzaa. I think Thursday, tomorrow, and Saturday, I believe it is. Yes, I'll go over the Kwanzaa lineup for you. Yep. And of course, the new Black Wall Street Market has all kinds of stuff, and I'm hoping and praying that it can start really taking off. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, brothers and sisters, Us Lifting Us. They have their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night, 9 to 10, from 9 to 10, on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And if you want to listen or call in to have a question, comment, or concern, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. That's right, the fourth principle of Kwanzaa. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, and I know Brother Bija, you know, this is Kwanzaa time, so family, if you are in the Macon, Georgia area, go to 2910 Napier Avenue, and this brother, he has packed that area that he has there. You can do so much. He has all kinds of stuff. Health, beauty products, oils and incense, CD, DVDs, literature, jewelry, fashions, furniture. He even has a vegan restaurant. That's right. He even has a vegan restaurant right there, man. So check out Brother Bija. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. All right. Sun God Essentia, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. I know Sister Shelley is probably at these Kwanzaa's, because she usually is. So she may be at one of the Kwanzaa's here that I'm going to mention either, you know, at the Art Exchange. So contact me, but you can give my sister a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. And I'm definitely announce my good sister, Sister Gabby Aurelia. Sister Gabby is doing great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Now, you and I both know that the island of Haiti has no safety nets. So everything they do, they have to do on their own. So those young kids up in the hills. The young people up in the hills in the northeastern portion rely on us. So go to Sonjay, SONJAY-HIETAYITI.org. SONJAY-HIETI.org. And be supportive of what they're doing. All right. Baba Baruti, Mama Ya. I got a message from them. I haven't had a chance to talk to Baba Baruti, but some good pieces in the Facebook sections. We, of course, read from the Inyasasim, the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And we're going to, once this is over, we're going to go to the other Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to reread the 26th, and of course, today the 27th, December 26th, the first day of Kwanzaa, Umoja. Our African spirituality cannot be contained or violated and used for Western or European greed and materialism. Our African spirituality cannot be contained or violated and used for Western, European greed and materialism. You know, I know Brother Paul mentioned the fact that, you know, even if you go to a black store, we probably, you know, we didn't produce the candles. We might not have even produced the mat or the kanara or the Kakumbe Chayumoja family. It might have been produced in China. Maybe even some of the clothes, some of the those printed dashikis, you know. But we must. We must get in that frame of mind and that attitude. We must. It is ours. Whatever is ours, we should control. Whatever is ours, we must benefit from. Just like I mentioned the other day on Monday, Howard Nicholas. I've always said to you to go to YouTube. Check it out for yourself. And what Howard Nicholas is saying is what the European world, is what Caucasians think and want to do. It is time we made definitive statements about what Kwanzaa must mean to us. If it is to serve us in our fight to be African. Kwanzaa, brothers and sisters, is not just a holiday. It's not just the observance of December 26th to January 1st. Kwanzaa should be instilled in our everyday lives. We should strive for unity and purpose, not in uniformity. We don't need to be lockstep. But the idea that we are unified. We should strive for self-determination. Kuji Chagalia, which is today's principle. Name ourselves. Speak for ourselves. Do for ourselves. And that no one. No, and I mean no one. Does anything. Says anything. Outside of who and what we are or our approval. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. That we come together to work on projects. It's not an individualistic thing. It's not a me thing. It's a we thing. We work together. Collective work and responsibility. Got a problem with that garage? You know it's a daunting task. Call some of your relatives. Call some of your brothers and sisters. Kuji Chakalia. Many hands make light work. Ujama. Cooperative economics. Cooperative economics. We spend money with each other. whatever work that we did to earn the money, whatever how we were able to earn the money, we tried to keep the money circulating in our community. But we know that the money basically goes into our hands and out of our pockets, not in our community. We know this. It's been stated. But it must stop. It must circulate within our community so it can provide more businesses, more jobs. Kumba. No, Nia, purpose. What is our purpose? Our purpose, family, is to be the best men, the best women, to raise the best children that we can. That is our ultimate purpose, to be African, to be African, to honor that, respect that, feel good about who we are. Creativity, Kumba, creativity, not just the creativity of our dance, our singing, all the things that we do, but the creativity that created civilizations, ancient civilizations that were the light of the world. The creativity that we have even today, when you look at all the inventions that we created, even under oppression, segregation, humiliation, we still rise. As our ancestors, Maya Angelou said, we still rise. We are a creative people. And last, Imani, faith. I know we should have faith in an entity higher than ourselves, but we should have faith in ourselves and have faith in each other. That we begin to trust one another, believe in one another, respect one another, work with one another. To be African. We must clearly and uncompromisingly indicate how important this celebration is to those of us who want to demonstrate the utmost respect for our ancestors and the uncontaminated African traditions by the followers of their examples. With this choice comes the responsibility of serving African interests first. It requires that we stop celebrating Kwanzaa apologetically. This means we have to put an end to de-emphasizing the celebration so that others who have never felt a need to make us comfortable or who are only comfortable when their owners are comfortable will not feel that what we create is in a competition with their religious celebrations of white supremacy. We need to explain our celebration to no one in order to realize its existence. And to rationalize its existence. We need to explain that. Those in our community who do not want to celebrate anything African, except if it comes whitewashed through European approval, need not participate. Our stand to revitalize and re-Africanize Kwanzaa calls for us to individually and collectively set examples of humanistic perfection for each other every minute of every day. This initiative cannot be about us working to turn others into some perfect model that we follow. It must be about us being the best of our ancestors and not cheap imitations of them and what they stood for. Ashe. Affirm. I believe in the true spirit of Kwanzaa. I do. Affirm. I believe in the true spirit of Kwanzaa. December 27th. Kujichagulia, self-determination. Uninformed men make unsafe leaders. Uninformed men make unsafe leaders. Sister Drusilla Dungy Houston. Before I read this quote, I want to say that Sister Drusilla Dungy Houston, to me, has one of the best quotes. She's the one who wrote the wonderful Ethiopians of the ancient Kushite Empire. She says, out of ethnology, archaeology, paleontology, as well as history, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship and of our people can dare not refute. This is the best part of the quote, family. So how can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? And we are, and we still are, utterly ignorant of our past. All the great things that we have done. Drusilla Dungy Houston, the wonderful Ethiopians of the ancient Kushite Empire. Warrior scholars never, ever, I repeat, warrior scholars never, ever commit treason against our ancestors. Never, ever abandon our children to others' chaos. Never, ever give up your power to our enemies. Never, ever compromise truth. Never, ever be without a liberating vision, a vision of tradition. Warrior scholars, always be true to the spirit of our ancestors. Always be African. Ashe. Affirm, I study us and our enemies. Ashe. Affirm, I study us and our enemies. That's why, to me, you know, my book, my favorite book, what I consider the Bible, is Urugu. Dr. Marimba Ani's great work. An African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. An African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. Urugu. And that's what they are. Urugu is a story of the incomplete being during the gestation period. And that's what the Urugu is. He's the incomplete being. So today is Kuji Chakalia. So I'm going to go over some. I was so happy. I was so happy that, to see the Kwanzaa celebration in Milwaukee, which I have participated in so many. In fact, where the presentation is, that's the building that was the theater. The building next door used to be the library, the public library, until they made the new public library. And Brother Claiborne has had those buildings for well over 30 years now, maybe longer. Yeah. And it was a theater, so you know that the floor is on a decline, you know, and so people can sit down and see above people's heads and so forth, those in front of them. What he had to do was take the floor out and level it. And so Kwanzaa came up, and we had plywood on the floor at the Kwanzaa. That's the Kwanzaa that Sister Soldier came to speak at that particular year. Yeah. I also remember when Malana Karinga, when the stamp came out, he came and made a presentation for Kwanzaa. He was going around the country at the time because, of course, that was the first year of the stamp to be issued of Kwanzaa. And so they've been doing it every year. This year was pathetic. It is so far. It is so far. But hey, she's the U.S. Postal Service. It's the U.S. Postal Service, I tell you. Yeah. It's foul. But, and we've had other entertainers and speakers come to Milwaukee. And the program is beautiful. They showed the young college students. about 15 of them getting up and tell them where they're going to school at and what year they're in and what they're studying, you know. Yeah. And, of course, drumming and singing and all kinds of good stuff and presentations. I'm not sure if the African-American Women's Center is still happening. I know Sister Josephine Hill, she was trying to sell it. You know, she had some other things that were happening with her. So what they would do between the African-American Women's Center and the Wisconsin Black Historical Society would trade off, you know, they one day this, one day that, you know. And at the end, the African-American Women's Center would close out Kwanzaa with the Kamaruye Imani, good program on the seventh day, along with some food. Yeah. And I'm hoping, too, that wherever you are, that program is doing well. And I'd like to thank Brother Lusk out of Birmingham because he sent me a good piece on Milwaukee's Kwanzaa. Man, I tell you, that's a good brother, man. Brother Ted Lusk, if you are in Montgomery, Alabama, you know, if you're planning to stop through there, contact him. You know, it's a good brother. Yeah, man, I want to, me and Kwaku, we get our health a lot better. And take a trip down to Montgomery because you can check out the museum and the memorial's deep, family, you know where of lynching and murders and so forth, and then of course the museum, and it's interactive, so yeah, it's definitely worth it. In fact I did that with my good sister Izzy, yeah, H, good sister. She was, or still may be, Gwen Moore's assistant. Gwen Moore is the congressperson, and she's been the congressperson now 20-some years, and I guess just like the other people, whether you're Democrat or Republican in Congress and in the Senate, you know, becomes a lifelong job. It becomes a situation sometimes that seat, it's almost like you bequeath the seat to a relative, you know? In fact, this one sister, the Cox family, they're very connected politically. In fact, when I was watching the Kwanzaa, and I remember when Malele, you know, when she went to Fisk University in Nashville, I remember her, you know, coming home for Kwanzaa and saying, I'm this year at Fisk University in Nashville, you know. And at the time, Brother Ray Winbush was at Fisk, you know. So make sure you say hello to him. Yeah, Ray Winbush. Now he's at Baltimore. He's at Morgan State. He's been there for quite a few years now, too. And she's, and her family, the Cox family, and she is a alder person. I'm not sure what district it is, but she's been there now, too, for quite a few years, well over 10, you know. And her brother was a state senator, and he was the secretary of state, you know. Yeah. But what they did, you know, her father, her grandfather, he was a state senator, and he died. And his wife, Marsha Cox, filled out his term. And then she ran, and the people voted for her and continued to vote for her. Well, when she knew she wanted to retire, you know, instead of saying, hey, family, I'm going to retire, or hey, community, I'm going to retire, let us try to get a good person in that seat, she set it up for... for, I think, a nephew or something like this, you know, And brother was used to be a police officer in Milwaukee police officer. And right at the last minute, almost like nobody else could get it together to put something together, because at the last minute she said, "I'm retiring and young." He put his papers in, bam, like that. And of course he was elected, but he eventually lost, you know, because really the politics, you know. Yeah. That's the politics, family, the politics. So on this Kwanzaa season, I hope that you have the opportunity. I know that I didn't make it to Kenneth Zaki. I will see him today at the new Black Wall Street Market. He had the opening at the Art Exchange, where he has exhibits and so forth, and had some good programs, and beautiful Kwanzaa's there. I mean, really nice. But he changed the time, and I had some obligations. So, you know, I missed it. Because usually it's in the evening. But this time it was in the afternoon, around about 3:34. And so I had some other obligations. So, yeah. Just like as soon as I get off the phone, after the program is over, I got to go pick up my grandson from basketball practice, you know. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, Ezra McCants and Brother Ray Winbush, right on. Right on, Ezra McCants and Brother Ray Winbush and Sister Afua. I like that, Sister Afua. Yeah. So today here in Atlanta, and of course, you know, Sister Labantu, Mama Labantu, you know, she has Kwanzaa at the new Black Wall Street Market. And of course, today is the 27th, Kujichagulia. And the brother from the Art Exchange, my good brother, Brother Kenneth Zaki, is going to be hosting. More than likely, we'll be doing libation. And that is from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock. From 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock in Atlanta. Once again, the new Black Wall Street Market is east of Atlanta off of I-20, Interstate 20. Take exit 75, which is Turner Hill Road. Exit right for three lights. Go past three lights. Make a right, and on the left, as you go further down the road, on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. It was a Targets. It was a Targets. Big space, a lot of building, you know. And let me tell you what I wish would have happened, that they would have completed all the things that they wanted to do with the new Black Wall Street Market and have all the stores in it, because by not doing so, I don't know. I've been there so many times, and never have I been there when it was really packed, you know. In fact, some of it has changed, because the amount that they ask for space, and if there's no people, then yeah, exactly. But there's some stores that are hanging on, man. Hope they continue to hang on, and that we start to get more and more of our brothers and sisters who can travel to Atlanta. I mean, you know, Atlanta is a big hub. The airport, the city itself of the South, and saying that we could draw those people from Nashville, can draw those people from the South or from the East and the Carolinas, you know, Memphis and so forth, you know, or even further, you know, to celebrate the new Black Wall Street Market and make it happen. And then ultimately, hopefully, that you have a new Black Wall Street Market in your area. It's the same as I've always pushing and promoting We Buy Black. We Buy Black has been trying to solicit money for a supermarket. We do not have a supermarket in the Atlanta area. The city of Atlanta, which is small, now I go over this all the time. The city is small in area and in population. About 600,000 people in the city of Atlanta. And we represent about 60% in the city of Atlanta. And we don't have a super, we don't have a gas station convenience store. We don't have one. In the city of Atlanta, I think there was one sister and brother, I saw them many years ago on a Facebook, I believe it was in Cobb County. They have, you know, they opened up a convenience store, supermarket. I mean, it's a convenience store, gas station. But we don't have one. And that's crazy. You know? So, the brothers and sisters have been trying to do that, you know, with We Buy Black for years. And it shouldn't take like that long. The people in the city and in the more, because see, in the city, I said it was 600,000, right? But in the metropolitan area, because Atlanta, the city of Atlanta is in five different counties. The majority of Atlanta is in Fulton County. The next is DeKalb County. Next is Cobb, Gwinnett, and Clayton. Those are the five areas. They're a little bit of here, a little of that. That's why when you're driving along and you make a turn, hell, your ass is in, it might be in a different county. Man, for real. But the bottom line is you're still in Atlanta. And it would be great if we pull that money together and got a supermarket, employing our people, employing our young people, and then another one. And then we go to Dallas. Then we go to Charlotte. Now, I know some of those places already have a supermarket, American African supermarket, as they should. And what should happen, we should strengthen them. Another one. Let's get another one. And another one. Compete. Why should Kroger and any other chain in your city, in your area, you know, have this advantage? As I'm saying that, I'm still thinking of Howard Nicholas, who is saying, no, American Africans or Africans particularly should not be developing anything. They have the raw materials. Just give us the raw materials and sit your ass down. And we're going to produce stuff and we're going to sell it to you. It's yours. We got it for little or nothing. That's what we want to make sure that it happens, so we can get the resources for little or nothing. And then we make billions. That's what we must do, family. That's why Kwanzaa is important. That's why these things should be talked about at Kwanzaa time and then extended throughout the year. Develop groups that do fact finding. Develop groups that find ways to pull monies. If we don't do these things, if we don't do them, who's going to do them for us? Of course, no one. No one. But that's the importance of Kwanzaa. That's why Kwanzaa is vitally important. Oh, we're going to take a break. We come back from this break. Open up the phone lines. A number of you already there. And talk about Kwanzaa. Wait, maybe you might have a good story about Kwanzaa in your city. Or what's happening with Kwanzaa there in your city. You know, love to hear that. You know. Yeah. When I first came here to for Kwanzaa at the shrine, man, it was beautiful. Beautiful. But then since I moved here, I just love to see Milwaukee. Somebody put it on Facebook and it was great, man. It was great. And in a beautiful crowd, you know. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. We're going to take a break. I'm going to play you Umoja from the CD, Seven Principles by Kwame Cobb and Shavinduka, the Seven Principles. And after Umoja, of course, Kujichagulia. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is a beautiful CD, and you can go to YouTube to listen to it or download it or whatever you want to do. You know, you need to have it. Just like we played Teddy Pendergrass, Happy Kwanzaa. Nice cut. Get it off the CD. So, all right, family. All right, family. Here we're going to play. What did I do with that? So what am I doing here? I got to. Man, I tell you, family. Just hey, just bear with me, okay, family? Just bear with me. Okay. Here's Umoja. These woke revolutions. Yes, shut up there.
Take it the message to our brothers and sisters.
Let me do this right, family, okay? Let me do this right. Here we go.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Confuse us when all is said and done. nation. We never stand alone, cause unity's our resolution. Share one mind through a vision of our future, while we're holding hands to form a circle around our motherland. From all around the world, she is calling home her children. One mind will take us there, and we will celebrate our union.
Last year,
before you were preventing migraine with Qulipta,
and look at me now, you'll never truly.
When we stand in the principles, and we know where we want.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Man, the beautiful voice of Shavinduka. Man, sister's beautiful, man. Just beautiful range and loved listening to. In fact, there's, you know, one of the songs I play, not just during Kwanzaa, but I play all the time because it's so beautiful. And you will hear if you listen to this program. That's right, because I'll be playing them two each day until Monday, which is the end of Kwanzaa, the Imani faith. But these two principles here, and give us a call and join the conversation at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And I wanted to finish, let me do that right quick instead of jumping all around, then I'll get to finish talking about the Kwanzaa that are happening. And if you have a Kwanzaa that's happening and you want to talk about it or you want to throw some information out there, please do. You know, wherever that Kwanzaa is, and maybe, because this is today. Fakuji Chagalia, Brother Kenneth Zaki of the Art Exchange. They had Kwanzaa yesterday. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it because this Kwanzaa is from three to seven. And I don't know if he's going to be doing the libation. I know he does, but someone will do the libation, then the anthem will be played, and then the Griot's Art Ensemble, and a number of people will talk about stuff, and then the Kukumbi Chayumoja and the lighting of the candles and then the symbols and the history of Kwanzaa. And then they have a presentation by Mulefu and Message of the Day, of course, and Cheryl A. Johnson. And then Brother Kenneth Zaki, who is a spoken word artist, just a beautiful brother who has gone through some serious health challenges, you know, but he's still there. He's a fighter, man. He's a good man. He's a fighter. And then there's some closing remarks or closing words. And then the African pledge, Mama Nabantu, and the seven Harambes. Harambe. Of course, Harambe means let's pull together. And then there's seven Harambes. And then there's a raffle. And then there'll be children's activities. And those are some of the mainstays of the Kwanzaa here in Atlanta at the new Black Wall Street Market. You know. And if you have a Kwanzaa in your area coming up soon, I know I'm going to be presenting Kwanzaa, tomorrow? Twice I'm doing it. Am I on for tomorrow? Okay. I'm on the 30th. I'm on Sunday, New Year's Eve. I'm on Sunday, and Saturday and Sunday. So, but whatever the case may be, I definitely will be there, definitely being supportive of Kwanzaa and the activities surrounding Kwanzaa. Yeah. And I remember, quite a few years ago, you know, I've been here in Atlanta now 9 years, and twice I was the speaker on Kuji Chagalia, self-determination. And in 1 year, I was saying that we're no closer to Kuji Chagalia, to self-determination at that time than we even are right now. Even though we're no closer to even now, you know, Kwanzaa has been around since the 60s. I got involved and understood Kwanzaa in the 70s. Began to, in the 80s, man, like I said, they had good public Kwanzaa celebrations, 80s, 90s. You know, and still, if you have a Kwanzaa celebration in your locale and you know where it is, you can promote it. Please do. And if you've been there, did you go yesterday at the opening of Umoja? A lot of people do go for the opening. Like I said, the opening at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. That's why it was always so packed. And then other places, and, you know. And there's some places that have it every day, like the Art Exchange has. Mama Nabantu helped organize that along with my good brother, Brother Sajifo, who's a jeweler. He's also from Milwaukee. I don't know if he's born one, but I know he's been from Milwaukee. He lives here in Atlanta now. I've been here for quite a few years here in Atlanta. And outstanding jeweler. And so he's putting, organizing Kwanzaa like last year and again this year. So, you know, come on out. Come on out and celebrate Kwanzaa. You know, you don't have to put on a daishiki or a buba or a grand buba and wear shakatos and wear gala and do none of that. Just come. Just come and share with the brothers and sisters. Feel the spirit. You know? Feel the spirit. Because the number one, the underlining theme of Kwanzaa is unity. Unity. All the other principles speak to how important unity is. You know? Self-determination. Collective work. That's unity, ain't it? Collective work and responsibility. We got issues or problems, we're going to solve them together. Cooperative economics. And it's not like one person is making all the money and taking advantage of the people and in the conditions that we are in to continue to make all the money, or we just get by scraping and that's the thing about, that's why I hate this system. I've stated this many times. I do not like capitalist system. It's not a good system for humanity. It's not a good system, particularly for our people. Where you have a small handful of people who have damn near everything at the expense of all others. It's a messed up system. Where you have a system of usury, where you need some money and then you have to go borrow, but boy, the terms of borrowing is just so ridiculous. Interest rates and down payments and you know. This is a system that is devised and designed for many people, for a small group to have at the expense of the many, for the larger group not to have. If you want to get in this conversation, brothers and sisters, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brother Irv, good afternoon.
Baba Oshi, how are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. How you doing, man? Doing all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, brother. This is Kwanzaa time, brother.
That's you know, right.
It's
That's right.
time for me.
That's right.
It's Kwanzaa time. And,
yeah. Oh, I love it, man. I love it.
Oh, come on. Kwanzaa time is about being a collective group.
Yeah.
Even if you go to Kwanzaa and you don't even know what exactly is going on, you will walk out of a Kwanzaa celebration knowing something, learning something that you didn't know before.
That's
and even
sure.
if you do know everything, which some of us do, you will leave there with what you leave with when you go to church, a good feeling.
That's right. That's right.
You'll feel good about yourself, about your people, about your being, about who you are.
Yeah.
You'll learn some history about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, Kwanzaa is an interesting thing. It's very interesting. Yeah. And Kwanzaa is not new anymore. Let's be perfectly clear. It's not new anymore. No, it's not new anymore. No, it's been around for a while.
Quite a while.
You know, and then, you know, sister when I have a conversation with me about movies and I don't want to hear all that. But anyway, Baba Oshi, real quickly, I saw something that caught my eye. I don't know if you've seen this. It's on the internet. That I cruised through headlines. I don't read everything, but it says Mike Epps bought his old neighborhood in Annapolis and restored all the homes for affordable housing.
Yeah.
Baba Oshi, that is significant.
It is.
But I'm going to tell you why. Don't move from the old neighborhood. Buy the old neighborhood.
Yeah.
Don't sell it. Don't sell it back to everybody to make a profit.
Yeah.
And then give it break even. But think about it. If we collectively took the principles of Kwanzaa and applied those collective principles to our economics, we would be so far ahead of the game. Because Mike Epps is a small, he's not even a super A-list comedian.
Right.
I mean, if someone like Kevin Hart and some other comedians did that, mm-hmm. with the type of money that they move, yeah. do you know that would change the game? It's not a supermarket. You'd have a chain of supermarkets.
Yeah.
You know, we get a gas station, we would own oil refineries because we work collectively. Come on now.
Yeah.
But
I agree with you.
We're not working collectively.
I agree with you because I know that T.I. is doing the same thing here in Atlanta. Somebody is doing the same thing. I just heard about it. I can't even now remember who it was. But, you know, in their city, buying up some property and then building some affordable housing, you know, in that neighborhood as opposed to putting it out in the outlying area, you know. It's like what's happening in Palestine to the Palestinians. The European Jews, the Israelis are bombing them out to renovate all of that for themselves, you know, so they'll have more additional housing, you know, for all the settler people. But as opposed to saying, hey, well, let's do something for these Palestinians. No, that's not going to happen. And so they want the Palestinians out. They want them out of the West Bank. They want them out of Gaza. And once that happens now, the European Jews have all of Palestine to be Israel, you know. And so the same thing in our neighborhood. The Europeans, the Caucasians, Yoruba want to move back in the gentrification process. And the brothers and sisters whose community that was and saying, hey, I don't want that. I got some money. Yeah, I might live way out now in a gated community and beautiful home and, you know, but no, I'm going to do this and then help transform that community. Put some businesses in that community. Put a strip mall there, you know. And that's the thing about here in Atlanta, man. You have a number of communities, gated communities, cul-de-sacs, subdivisions, and so forth. Us. Manicured lawns, the places are immaculate. I'm quite sure they're immaculate on the inside. Us. But yet, those brothers and sisters got to travel maybe 4, 5, 10 miles to go to the shopping center, you know, or the malls and so forth. What they should do is say, hey, there's a good clearing of land. Let's pull our money together and put a mall here for us.
Mm-hmm.
For us. You know, when I first moved here to Atlanta, you know, I lived in Tucker in the DeKalb County, and I had some issues with my shoulder and my knees, and so I was going to this clinic on Decatur. But in that area are Indians from India, and they had a lot of businesses, and they had a strip mall. In that mall, they had a furniture store, clothing store, supermarket.
Wow.
Convenience store, a takeout restaurant, a sit-down restaurant. I mean, whatever it is that they needed or wanted, they had, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, and I'm saying, like, man, you know, I'm quite sure their community, I know, I'm just being a little facetious here, that their community is not big as ours. No, it's not. But the thing is, when you work together, no matter, you know, what size, you know, you can do it. Yeah.
So. Oh, when we stand beside each other, arms locked, we cast a very big shadow.
Yeah.
When we stand alone, it's a small shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you see my dear brother Martin Luther King, everything he did was strategic. But mm-hmm. he marched down the street with the rabbis.
Right.
He's a Christian.
Right.
He marched, locked arms with them. It gave the impression that we're all one.
Mm-hmm.
And they marched down the street to get his objective done. And that's why, Brother Oshie, when you said this morning, you said something about, you spoke about something we spoke about the other day, not buying the candles not being made by black people for a Kwanzaa celebration.
Right.
And It's not about who makes the candles right now. It's about getting to the objective. And what is the objective? Self-determination. What is the objective? Liberation. How do we get there? Mm-hmm. Will we get there if we don't compromise? Because everyone, even in a relationship with a woman, you're going to have to compromise sooner or later.
For sure.
Something you're going to have to
for
do.
For sure, to make it work. It can't be always your way or your way or the highway. No, you're right. You got to come together.
I'm not going to do it anymore because you don't have a candle made by black people. Stop. Stop. Hold it. Mm-hmm. We can have unity without uniformity.
Right.
But we can have unity because at the end of the day, what does this Yorugu does? He compromises and then he uses his arm to force whatever it is down your throat, the gentrification, the homosexuality, the Christianity, the Catholic. It's okay for two men to get married. It's all right that they don't produce a child. I'm going to bless that. He pushes it down your throat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do at that point.
Yeah.
We have to get to the point where we can push our agenda. Mm-hmm. And we're there. Let's be clear. Most black people live a double consciousness, Baba Oshi. We live a double consciousness, as Marcus Garvey stated. We're one way around these Irugu, and we're another way around our people.
Yeah.
But you don't know which one is true. I do.
Yeah.
Because I've been African all my life.
Yeah.
It's in me whether I'm in Africa or not.
That's right.
So know that, and I don't want to hear that foundational black people's foolishness. I'm American because I built this country. You ain't. Man, come on now. We're Africans, and so is everybody else.
Yeah.
But in Africa is not a bad word. That's what it says on my shirt right now. Africa is African is not a bad word. It's not a bad word. Come on now.
Yeah.
It's not. Oh, I know African. They got on diapers, man. They got rags up their butt. No, you ain't never been to Africa. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jay, I had to jump in because I got to really ask Irv this question. When the Negro King talks about building this country, and I really want you to explain this to me, Irv, how you could build a so-called country when you under the threat, men and women, don't make it just seem like it's women. Men and women are being raped, then beat, and then killed if you don't do what the master and the overseer say. How can you classify I built this country? Because I ain't built nothing that I was forced to do. I'm not into that. I don't deal on that reality. But you know, the Negro King, he loves to say, "I built this country." Okay,
right. It makes him feel good. Let's be clear. But it's something that you can look back and say, "Oh, if it wasn't for me, there wouldn't be the World Trade Center dawn." But these big tall skyscrapers. If it wasn't for me digging that ditch and then me tilling that land, none of this would be here because it's all because of me. Well, you don't reap any benefits from it, my brother. If you built it all, why aren't you reaping benefits? And it's a reason for that. Because you built it under distress. You built it, you forcefully built it. You didn't build it because that's what you wanted to do. You were told what to do. And you're told what to do now. So let's stop and celebrate Kwanzaa, whether you believe in it or don't, or know what it is or not. Do something that connects you to your homeland, which is Africa, whether you want to believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Don't let people tell you that, because what happens is the children hear this, and then they start believing, I ain't no African. So now we got generation after generation, and they're doing this nonsense. So let's stop that.
Yeah.
We're Africans. Africa's in you, whether you're in Africa or not.
Thank you,
Baba Oshi.
All right, thank you, brother. Let me... Jay, since you're on the horn, go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. I just really wanted to ask that question to Irv because I'm kind of sick of hearing it. I mean, like you said, it makes them feel good. It don't make me feel good at all, brother.
No, because what it does to those brothers.
Did you know that my ancestors was treated the way that they were treated by this cracker, and you want to try and justify it because you want to be loved by the cracker. Nah, man, I can't accept that. I'm never going to accept that statement, we built this country.
Well, it signifies some ownership. It signifies some ownership. They believe that because we helped build this country, this is just as much ours as it is Caucasians, and we have every right, although we don't own nothing, we don't run nothing, we don't do nothing, but we want to have that perception.
We don't manufacture nothing, we don't produce nothing, and here it is in the next year, when hundreds of thousands of black people may be losing their job because the psychopath may be back in office, who and what institution of blackness is in place to help them?
Yeah, yeah.
What is the NAACP going to do? What is the Urban League? What is NAN going to do but talk about following you to make your feet hurt?
Yeah.
To follow them to make your feet hurt and beg the daddy to treat you with some sort of humility.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Jay.
Take the next one, Brother O.
All right, bro. Yeah. Brother. Hey, Brother Lusk, how you doing? Thank you.
Finding yourself, Brother O.
All right. Thank you.
Great discussion up to this point.
Yeah,
great discussion. Love it. One of the things that we had a chance to do and emphasize at the Kwanzaa here in Montgomery was we utilized the Black Candle movie that was narrated by Maya Angelou.
Right.
And built a discussion around that and trying to understand what First Fruits was all about. And so hopefully people had come away with no longer utilizing just this time of season, but to try to do something at or around the various seasons of the year, the fall, the summer, and trying to see if this could be something that can be done to push forth this Nguzu Saba principles on a more consistent basis.
And I agree. So it
made for a good discussion. We all sat and broke bread together. And so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what will happen in the month of February, which is Black Month, Black History Month. We'll see what will happen at the beginning of the summertime and see how we can galvanize people in this area. So we'll see. It's a work in progress. And so we're trying to come to a full understanding what First Fruits, the concept of First Fruits,
really
means.
Right on, Brother Lust. I like that idea. And of course, the Black Candle, produced by Malefi Asante's son, Malefi Akepe Asante's son, and narrated by, that's definitely. And if you guys are going to do something, maybe you can give me a call. I'd love to come down and check it out and be a part of it.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yes, most definitely. Well, right now, the work is really full steam ahead. Not as much as we should, but we want to. But the object is the second Saturday in July, where we once again will come together and honor the ancestors at the Alabama River. I'll keep you posted on we'll be doing here.
All right, my brother. All right, Brother Lusson. Santi Sana. Thank you once again. Santi Sana. For the piece from Milwaukee that you sent. That was great, man. I love that. And since I've been here about 9 years, I get a chance to see, how Kwanzaa was back in the city of Milwaukee, and I do miss it. I miss those brothers and sisters, for sure. All right, dear brother.
Peace.
All right. Mama Nabantu, how you doing? How's Kwanzaa going? What's happening? I guess I'm going to check her out later. Hey, man. It's my good brother.
Time.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Brother Paul?
How you doing, Baba Ochi? How's things?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing
well. Yes,
Did you have opportunity to go to a Kwanzaa presentation last night since it was the opening, Umoja?
No.
No.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, right, there's, I know that there's a brother who's having an event on the 30th, that's Saturday.
Okay, okay.
And to be honest with you, I have to be totally frank and honest with you. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't that brother who was holding it, I wouldn't go.
Okay.
But Ochi, I'm going to be totally honest, and I'm going to reveal myself. I've given up on so many people, and I can't be buying into the mouthpiece talk anymore. I left the business because I was sick.
Okay.
And I thought, let me come back to my people and hear what my people have to say. And if I talk the truth of what I've seen, people ain't going to like it. And I'm not an idiot. I saw what I saw. I've been among these organizations. I've been among the marching and the reparations groups. I have seen it at first hand. And then I wanted to work out what is going on here. You understand? I wanted to work out what I'm seeing is right. So I just sat back and watched, and I listened, and I spoke to other people. And I'm telling you, I'll be honest with you, man. I know you say that we ain't our worst enemy, man, but brother, as you're my elder, and I hear what you say, but I have to respectfully, humbly disagree with you.
Okay.
Because that's not what the evidence shows me. The evidence, what you say, what I see, and I've seen the evidence, doesn't show me. So if it wasn't for this brother, I wouldn't go.
Okay.
And I'm still in two minds. Because I know that the brother who's holding it, he's real.
Yeah,
he's real.
Right on.
It's just like if I feel that if you was holding it, I would go, but if it was anybody else, I probably wouldn't.
Okay, I hear you.
And
I
have to be truthful, man, because people talk at two sides of their mouth. That's what I'm experiencing, man.
Yeah.
You know, people speak with forked tongues. They say one thing, and when you watch their behavior, it's totally different.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of people live their contradictory lives and do things that are to the contrary to what they say they're going to do.
I think, personally, I see myself bigger than that. You know what I mean? I'm not about that. If I say it, I mean what I say, and I say what I mean.
Sure.
You understand? If they don't like it, they can bite it. Simple as that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And right now, you would have got that from me. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. And I ain't frightened to talk to anybody on the planet, anyhow.
Yeah.
You understand? So, you know, Baba Ochi, I want to deal with this, because I raised it with your guest who brought it on, right? Now, for me, you know, I don't really know about this Kwanzaa. I'm learning about it. I'm getting involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard all the rhetoric. I've heard about the founder and all the rest of it. That doesn't bother me, really. Mm-hmm. Because what I see is people coming together, yeah?
Yes.
But
thank you.
We've been coming together for a long time, man. Mm-hmm. We've been coming together in churches. We've been coming together with all sorts of things. And where are we at? That's what I see. Where are we at? We are in so much disarray. So to me, that coming together means nothing. What does it mean? Look, we have to have... at the end of the day, for me, Baba Ochi, we have to have something at the end of it. I have to have something, a legacy to pass on to my grandchildren. I've got 3 grandchildren, and I feel myself that I haven't accomplished enough to pass on to them. And I feel embarrassed with myself. That's how I feel.
Okay.
I feel that.
Okay.
I have to be honest. I feel that. And I feel that the talking, although I can talk, it's not enough. Yeah, I can give them some money. My family was in business. There's something for them. But I'm not talking about that. Something real, a real legacy that they can say, yeah, look what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Look how they can use to go on with. Okay? So what I'm saying is, when I said to your guest, it makes no sense to me how we are celebrating something, yeah, or involved in something, but we have no control over this, over the utilities we're using to celebrate. That makes no sense.
That's true. I mean, it does. I agree with you. I mean, it bothers me.
I know you agree with me.
Yeah.
I know you agree with me, Baba Ochi, but what I'm going to say for those who don't agree, yeah, look where we're at. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying look where we are at. Can you believe? Look. My mom was a hairdresser. She was in business, yeah? And I remember one day she sent me to buy... she ran out of a product. She sent me around the corner to buy it, yeah? And I went into this shop, this Indian shop, or not Indian, whatever, Asian shop, yeah? And where they sell hair and all these hair pieces, right? And they built the counter, Listen, man, I tell you, I was felt so disarrayed. They built the counter at head height. So when you go in there, you're looking up, yeah? Straight away, I saw that, and I wanted to come out, because this is the type of person I am. I thought to myself, well, I'm going to look up to you and give my money to you, yeah? And I was watching the people, the way they were, the way they were grabbing the money and just not even looking at the people there. And I almost went back to my mum, because the bottom line, I thought to myself, I ain't buying this, but I knew she needed it. She was doing a client, and she needed it at the time, and it's only because she had run out of it. But I really felt in my soul, I said, nah, man, and I had to fight myself to buy this thing. And I went back and I told my mom, I said, listen. And she said, she knows, you know, she goes to a supplier, it's a black supplier, whatever, but she just ran out. But I, you know, going in that shop and you go in any one of these hair shops, yeah, it's all black faces, man. It's the most ridiculous bamboozle madness. It tells me we are still slaves. We're still slaves. We are.
Well, listen.
I don't want to make excuses anymore. We're still slaves. We still are.
There's community.
So when a man says to me,
Brother Paul,
when I hear from a man and he says, oh, it's okay, that doesn't make no difference. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not on that page. It does make a difference. Because every aspect of our life is being controlled by others.
That
makes a difference.
Well, listen.
That's why we can't cope.
Listen, in many communities across this country, where there's a sizable number of us in a particular city, we don't control anything.
Absolutely.
Up in there.
What's the point?
You know, the hair care product business. I remember when they talked about going in to control it, and then Jesse Jackson ordered a boycott. You know, and basically it was symbolism without any substance, because what the Caucasians said is what they wound up doing, along with Indians and Koreans and so forth. They run those businesses in our community that cater specifically to us. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Sorry. Can you repeat that? Are you telling me? Can you explain? Are you telling me Jesse Jackson boycotted what exactly?
Jesse Jackson said boycott these businesses that don't employ you and that sell you products and so forth. And he said, we're going to boycott these businesses. And of course it was ineffective, because even though they shed a light on the Caucasian at the time, and one of the things they did, one of the manufacturers, they had a funeral procession for it. You know, like, we're going to, you know, demonstrate against them, and we're going to, you know, take them out. Well, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. They wound up just chilling out, and they did what this man made a statement for previously. It happened, you know.
Bubba, all right. You see, let me tell you what I saw from this side of the pond, yeah? With that, what you talk about. I think it's the same thing. Well, I was still going to school, but my dad showed me something, because we used to deal with products coming from America, okay? All types of products. And he said to me that there was a symbol. I don't know if you recognize it. They put a symbol on the products. Yeah?
Yes.
It
was yes.
So yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Right. A black woman, silhouette woman with wavy hair. Yes.
I'm going to tell you, I was at school, but it's something my dad showed me, because he was so upset about this thing, because he's part of this business organization. Now, let me show you how we work. You just showed me something. I didn't know that about this boycott. But what I did know is what my dad said to me. He said that they put this symbol on the products, yeah, and it was for distribution. So we speak about your friend. I forget his name again. Bridges, yeah?
Yeah.
Because that was the main man who we were dealing with. Well, I say we, my dad's people and those business people were dealing with.
That was the Matai Network. Ken Bridges, yeah, Matai,
this is a big thing,
Baba
Ochi, big, big thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and my dad was so excited about it, because my dad's a mechanic by trade. He's got garages and stuff, and he's a businessman. He's got a bit of money. So he was going to put his money in this thing. And my dad's not a person who wastes his money. So I heard that now, and he's excited. And I'm wondering, why my dad so excited about these people in America? What's going on? Yeah, so anyway, next thing I heard, I didn't hear the part about Jackson, but what I heard is that the Jews moved in because we all came together and they shut down the distribution. That's what he said. Mm. That's what he said. That's the way he saw it. He said they shut down the ports, started not delivering the products, and they closed it down. So you've just added another factor to it. The point I'm trying to make is this. It's not for want of trying, but it does show, it shows where they want us to be. They don't want us to move.
That's
they
right.
will do everything to they shut can. Us down.
That's right. But yes.
So how can one say, how can one really think it doesn't matter if you don't control the... Listen, man, we better wake up. We better wake up because these people are feeding us. Those what you talk about, right? In England, man, they are taking over England. I do a lot of work with them. There are places they totally look. I've seen schools with them in. You would think you're in India. You would think you are in India. 99% they run it. Listen, man, I just want to say this, Bob Olchi. I love all these things. I love us coming together, but we better wake up. We right. better wake up.
That's right. I got you, brother. Believe me. And I'm talking about waking up on the continent, waking up throughout the diaspora, wherever you are. Be conscious. Be very clear about who you are and who you are culturally and historically, and then get other like-minded brothers and sisters to do the same. And hopefully y'all can pull money and resources together to compete for the dollars that brothers and sisters have. You know, open up a gas station convenience store. Open up a beauty supply store. You know, open up.
And Baba Oki, it's the same in Africa. You know, we got people on the yes. ground in Africa.
Yes.
I hear them every week.
Yes.
It's exactly the same. So, brother, we're in trouble. I'm sorry to say it. We better wake up. Yeah. I don't want to hear about, we don't have to control the manufacturing. We better control the manufacturing.
That's right.
Because if we don't, we're just going to be their prostitutes forever.
Yep. Manufacturing and distribution, the whole nine yards. Like I said, I mean, what you just said just made me think about being in that cocoa farm in Ghana, looking at all the land, far as I could see, with all the cocoa up, you know, that they take the raw materials and then they send them to England, they send them to Belgium, they send them to Switzerland to make all these chocolate bars and chocolates. I mean, you know,
And Baba
then sell them back to us.
They're not even allowed to send them to each other. You know,
yeah.
you know there are, you know the flight schedule in Africa. They have to fly to Europe before they can go to. Like if you're going
right.
from Nigeria, you have to fly to Europe, England, Heathrow, and go back to bloody.
So there's no direct flight. There's no direct flight. From
London is no direct
from Heathrow.
That's how they've set it up. They've set it up like that. Just like you got oil in Nigeria, you have to send it to Europe to be distilled,
yeah.
and then they buy it back. What kind of total
yeah.
lunacy is that? And it's just bigger. Every product you look at is the same. It's the same.
Yeah.
Look, planting. We eat planting, right? As Jamaica, that grows in Africa, yeah? They have to send it to Europe to be certified all that and send it. Oh, man, it's so crazy. And we're talking about we don't need to. Listen, man, we better wake up. That's all
right.
I say, Baba Olchi. But good Kwanzaa to you.
All right, Brother Paul. Thank you, man. Appreciate you, man. Thank you. Mama Nabantu, are you with me? Mama Nabantu, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I know you're busy.
I'm trying to get over the new Black Wall Street.
Yes. Okay, well, I've been reading the lineup that you have, of course, and
okay,
and announcing that and what's happening today. Brother Kenneth Zaki and the Art Exchange Day, I know they had the opening yesterday, but they're going to be at the New Black Wall Street Market today, and I'll be there. Was that Friday and Saturday? Yeah.
You'll be there Sunday with Sarge.
Yeah. I'll be there Sunday with Sarge and Saturday with you, you know. And
yeah.
I'll be coming out there tomorrow or this evening, you know. I got to have some Kwanzaa, you know. I missed yesterday.
We had a good crowd last night.
Did you? Beautiful. Oh,
yeah.
Outstanding. Let's hope that continues. Hope that grows.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
yeah.
This was a day when the New Black Wall Street is normally closed.
Okay. Okay, yeah, right, so yeah, yeah. So Wednesday, mm-hmm. yeah, that's right. But they did open up for Kwanzaa, so Brother Kenneth Zaki is there and all the people that are with him on today, on Kuji Chagalia. And so, mm-hmm. all right, my sister, Mama Nabantu, okay. appreciate you and appreciate the hard work that you do in the many things that you do in our community. Believe me. I love
well,
you.
Thank
I respect you.
You.
Yes.
Likewise to you. All right. You're doing a great job. All right,
my sister. Right. Appreciate that.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Mama Habia.
Yeah, Habargani.
Oh, Kuji Chagalia Bargani. Yes, that's right. What's the news? Habargani. The news is Kuji Chagalia today.
There's self-determination. I have a different, I'm of the belief that Kwanzaa is a beautiful thing for our people.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I think it's something strong, it's uplifting. The goal of it is not just for us just to make money. However, money can be made if you practice those principles of unity and determining for ourselves and doing our collective work and our cooperative economics and having some purpose and faith. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just rhetoric, because you got to have some goals and some standards and then implement them
sure.
different ways that we can. And I think that we ought to know that we are great people. We've been subjected to a whole lot of oppression, and we're not our worst enemy. This is what they've tried to instill in us, that we are worst enemies. Meanwhile, getting Yoruba off the hook. So I want us to know that we do some things. I mean, I think we got to believe in ourselves. No, we have done some things. To say we haven't done things is disingenuous. And we've done some beautiful things. Okay. I mean, there's some Black independent schools all over the country in Atlanta. I know there was some words said about the minister over there at, the church where Eddie Long used to be.
That
brother, he has built a very large church, a large college, and a lot of people, he helped save a lot of their lives, too, because sometimes you need the spiritual and the emotional, and he does jobs. He gives jobs, and they give, they give food out, and they're doing businesses, and a lot of us do real estate. And we've done some great things in that. We can do them again tomorrow. We've done great things before. Like, we had a Black hospital here, Southwest Hospital, and I was so hurt when it closed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think if we'd been practicing more of Kwanzaa, it would have remained open. But we can utilize those to build another Black church.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what I would say. Kwanzaa is beautiful, and we're beautiful people.
Right on.
And, be aware of all the great things we've done mm-hmm. today and that we are doing and we continue to do. Just like you were talking about Mama Nabantu, this is what she's doing. I mean, she's doing work.
Oh, she's doing serious work.
And people just try to put down talk. But you got to talk to strategize and to organize and then to implement things.
Sure.
So I want to know, what was Paul saying that, what does he suggest we're doing? He's saying we're not doing anything. I mean, so he says to wake up, and then...
What he's observing is the same thing that many of us who are aware of what's happening with us or not happening with us is observing, and it doesn't look good, because it's...
So what do we do? What do we do?
We continue to struggle. We continue to fight. We continue to let it be known how we feel, what we want to do. You know, we continue to appeal to we continue to appeal to one another about what we just should do in terms of unifying, pulling our resources. You know, that's
and
what we got to do.
Is the instrument to help do that?
No doubt about it. Kwanzaa is there actually the best implement.
Down some of the beautiful, uplifting things we're doing.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Sister, you asked a question.
Hey, Brother Paul.
How are you? How are you? How are you? I hope
it's always good to hear your voice.
You asked a profound question. And I want to answer it. Yeah, because when you ask that question, I get butterflies. I tell you, I got butterflies in my stomach, because this is how I see it. me personally, I don't spend money with these people. Let me tell you something. Yeah, I wasn't grown up like this. I was grown up having three meals a day, and I gave my children three meals a day. I only eat one meal a day. This is what I've learned. I only I have a subsistence diet. I don't buy soft drinks or fruit drinks. I drink water. I wasn't grown up like this. This is not religious. And let me tell you why I do this, right? Because I've realized we eat too much, we consume too much. Everything we do is killing us off this planet, and it's targeted at us, yeah? So you ask, what do we do? Well, the first thing we do, we stop spending money with others. That's the first thing. Stop spending money with anybody who don't look like you. So when it comes back to Kwanzaa, okay, do not buy any candles for no Chinese, Japanese, Indians, or whatever, because that makes no sense. Makes no sense. You're going to celebrate something where you're considered spiritual and uplifted and come together, but you're going to give all your money to an Indian or Asian or anybody else. And it's not because I dislike these people. I don't like them or hate them. But the reality of it is, what I see going on is that everybody's riding off the back of us. And we ain't learned a damn thing. I keep talking about Carter G. Woodson 100 years ago, but the lesson in that, the miseducation of the Negro, was that you have to define your own, control your own. And 100 years later, we ain't even learned that basic lesson. So what do we do? I want us to stop spending our money with anybody who don't look like us. And I don't want to hear, oh, it's convenient, this one's more expensive. I don't want to hear that. I go in, listen, sometimes I go in our people's shop and they speak to me away and I feel away. And sometimes when I'm ready, I address them. I draw back and I fire back. But the bottom line is, I know if we don't do that, how are we going to go forward? Yeah. No matter how much celebrating we do or how much coming together, they're going to ride us into the ground. And that's what they're doing now. And they're using economics. And I think economics is a pseudoscience, but the reality of they're using it as a weapon to keep us in place. So the first thing we do, stop spending our money. Do not buy anything unless it's made by people. OG had his guest on, and he said about they used to make it by hand. And I thought to myself, why don't we still make it by hand? Yeah. Because making it by hand gives it a special value. And then it will give 1 o'clock, other people.
Brother Paul. Yeah, it's 1 o'clock.
Do that.
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock,
Brother Paul.
And I got to go. Yeah. Appreciate you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, Earl.
Thank you for giving me the time. Thank you for giving me the time.
All right. Thank you. Well, listen, family, I got to go. I got to go pick up my grandson. And just want to say to you today, second day of Kwanzaa, which is self-determination. If you don't celebrate Kwanzaa publicly, but you celebrate in your home, you know, and you can do it very easily. Take that time. You don't have to have an elaborate Kwanzaa kit, so to speak. You can put down, get a big red, a big black, and a green candle. You know, put a mat down. Put a bowl and some fruit. Get 2-3 ears of corn for the number of children you have in your family. For the symbols of Kwanzaa. I didn't mention the symbols of Kwanzaa. I apologize for that. I'll definitely do that on Friday. You know, so that you can celebrate Kwanzaa. Light the candle and then speak out within your close-knit family. You know, there's so many ways, so many things that you can do. There's not any set way. There's not any set way. But what you're doing when you do that, you're awakening the African in you and in each other. And then you highlight the principles and you highlight the fact of how we can come together and begin to trust and respect and love and work with one another is what we need to do. So brothers and sisters, I appreciate y'all. Okay, gotta go, gotta run. So we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahordye
BB48 means our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. Abaragani, brothers and sisters, and the answer, Kujichagalia, Abaragani. Peace.